After a few weeks off, Chet Edwards joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning. How are you?
Well, Happy New Year, Scott. Doing great. Thank you. And it was a special week for the Edwards family. My father-in-law, Dr. John Wood of Waco, is a Baptist minister, was honored at the Ukrainian embassy in Washington on Monday for building orphanages and saving lives through medical exchanges between doctors in Central Texas and doctors in Ukraine. So that was a nice start for our family.
Certainly, congratulations to him. Let's go back to before, after our last conversation, you had an opportunity to vote on a second stimulus package. You chose not to vote for that.
Well, I voted no on that. It was $154 billion in spending, and it is the money that's being repaid to from the banks, from the financial bailout of 2008. The good news is the United States is actually going to make a profit on the money that was loaned to the banks, pretty significant profit. But I know there's still a lot of concern about the unemployment levels around the country and the interest in stimulating the economy, and I share those concerns about unemployment, but also have a huge concern about the massive deficits we're facing. So I just preferred a different approach that repaid financial services bailout money be used to pay down the deficit.
And the deficit is, again, most of these things haven't kicked in. Individuals are not feeling this yet. How can any member of Congress, in good faith, continue to look at any kind of a program that's going to add to an already gigantic deficit that will be carried for generations, Chet?
Well, it bothers me greatly, Scott, and it's bothered me for the last 10 years because I was one of those who worked to help balance the budget in the 1990s, and I voted against the programs and budgets that took us from the largest surpluses in history to the largest deficits in history. It's something we have to deal with. Now, there are some who differ with me. They think that the unemployment situation, the jobs situation ought to trump everything, including any concerns about the deficit. And I, believe me, every job lost is a family that's struggling out there. But I think one of the best ways to stimulate the economy is show the capital markets that we're going to get control of spending and we're going to reduce that deficit over the long haul. So I think the key thing is we show there's a glide path back toward a balanced budget. We're not going to balance it overnight with two wars going on and still in the wake of a very serious recession, but it's just essential. It's one of my highest priorities that we get back on that glide path toward a balanced budget.
Of course, health care is going to be the debate again, and I know that there was a caucus Tuesday night, and did you happen to be in that caucus meeting last night?
No, I did not.
Okay. And it seems like the plan as it stands now is very unpopular with Democrats, especially Democrats who have a lot of union backing, because part of this plan has to do with putting a tax on, if you will, the Cadillac plans, and a lot of unions have those. How do you feel about a tax placed on a Cadillac or higher-level type health care plans?
Well, I've got mixed feelings about it. I have concerns about taxing anything in a way that might increase health care costs on some. There are some economists that argue if we're really going to reduce the cost increases in health care, that some of the Lexus Cadillac plans really encourage wasteful spending in health care, and I'm frankly still studying that issue. There are some good things in the health care plan. I've always wanted to vote for health care reform. I think we need to do something to lower cost increases. We need to do something to make care more affordable to the 172,000 people in our district, that most of them working families that don't have health care. But I, as you know, I voted against the House bill because I just felt it had too many new programs in it at a time of high deficits, and I was worried about the government getting involved in running a new insurance company. Now, the Senate bill upset some of the most liberal Democrats, and so maybe it's a little more moderate approach, but I promised my constituents I'm going to read the final bill. We still have not seen the final bill, and I promised, and I'm going to keep this commitment, to read every page of the final bill before I vote on that.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. And now, when it comes to a final bill in the Senate, final bill in the House, then what they have to do is get together with a conference committee.
That's right. Is
generally the way it happens. There's been talk about what we call a ping pong. You take this, move it back and forth quickly, and they come up with a settled package. And when asked if this would be on C-SPAN, quite honestly, the Speaker of the House said no. For an administration that promises to be transparent, should these conference committee meetings or whatever they are in whatever format be on C-SPAN so people can see them?
Well, I'd like to see as much transparency as possible, and I think one of the most important acts of transparency would make to make the final bill available to the press and the American public days before it's voted on. I think that's very important. Look, I believe in transparency, but in the reality in democracy, sometimes you have to solve some problems behind closed doors as you're trying to negotiate things that people be hesitant to talk about. I'm not sure our founding fathers would have succeeded if every discussion they had in writing our Constitution had been on that era's equivalent of C-SPAN. But when push comes to shove, I believe in more transparency, not less transparency. The critical thing is we let the American people review this bill carefully before the final vote.
The speaker, talking to reporters yesterday, very brief comments, but she did once again say there needs to be a national exchange. She says that's an essential part of a working plan. How do you feel about the idea that there is a national exchange, that the government somehow oversees this plan?
Well, I don't think that is necessarily the critical linchpin to the bill. I like the idea of states having some flexibility, but what I do want is to allow competition in the private sector, not a government-run insurance program, but the private sector. I want to encourage competition, and if we do have state exchanges, I would like to see, Scott, how that allows competition to come in from outside of a state. Look, we have businesses that compete in all 50 states. Why shouldn't we have health insurance companies competing beyond state boundaries? I don't know that that requires a national exchange. But I'm not as hung up on that issue as the speaker is.
We were discussing just a little while ago, before we went on the air, some things that might be coming up. And among the laundry list of things that you did mention, cap and trade reared its head again. You see that this is something that once again is going to come before Congress soon?
Well, the Senate is looking at that bill now. I voted against it in the House. I think it's important for us to lessen our dependence upon foreign energy, but my conclusion was that bill was going to increase cost of energy and utility bills at a time we were trying to get the economy ginning again, and that's just the wrong direction to go. You know, I think if you ended up with an energy bill that encouraged the development of nuclear power and natural gas, those are two ways to encourage American jobs, lessen our dependence upon foreign oil, and frankly, reduce global warming. I think that's a smarter approach than the cap-and-trade bill that passed the House. I don't think the bill that passed the House has any chance of passing the Senate. We'll just have to watch and see what kind of changes the Senate makes in that, and whether that has... I'm not sure whether a cap-and-trade bill will pass this year.
Going back to the transparency thing for a moment, and how much government has done in the light of day, earlier this week, Arnold Schwarzenegger called on his California delegation to vote against any plan until California gets, quote, the same kind of deal that Senator Nelson got in Nebraska and Senator Landrieu got in Louisiana. Now, that sounds to me like all of a sudden somebody's going to want to be opted out of the plan that the rest of the states have to support. Can you be in favor of anything like that?
Well, let me just say it left a very bad taste in my mouth, and I know in constituents across our district and people across the country that Nebraska got this sweetheart deal through Senator Nelson. I understand compromise. The fact that we have a U.S. House and the U.S. Senate was a compromise between our founding fathers from big and little states, but... That's not what I call principle compromise. I think that was a mistake to put it in a bill and to have a dramatically different treatment for one state versus the other. I think raises real problems. And my hope would be, whether I vote for or against the final bill, my hope would be that kind of mistake would be taken out of the bill.
Of course, every time the federal government brings money to states, there's generally are strings attached. And I was reading an article on Sunday where a state official was quoted, said the federal government is pointing a loaded gun at the legislature. And while some folks thought it was Rick Perry that said that, in fact, was a young state senator named Chet Edwards in 1985. You're a congressman now. You're on the other side of that issue. How do you feel about those comments?
Well, I'm not necessarily on the other side of that issue. I think the Congress ought to respect the responsibilities and powers of the states and our local governments. I think we need to be very careful about attaching strings, particularly when the consequences, the threats from Washington aren't directly related to the program being funded. For example, the bill that I opposed back in those days was the federal government cutting off highway funding if we didn't increase the drinking age from 19 to 21. Laws such as setting drinking ages, it traditionally been handled by the states, and I just did not see the relationship between highway spending and drinking age. I think Texans are well qualified to decide on their own what the drinking age ought to be, as our other states. So I think we should be careful. I think the Leave No Child Behind bill went too far in putting strings on our local school districts, and that's one of the bills that's up for reauthorization this year, and I hope one of the improvements we could make in it would be to lessen some of the strings coming from Washington.
The Democrats will have the congressional retreat starting tomorrow, but I understand you're not going to be taking part in that.
No, I'm going to come back down to our district. We've got a lot of projects we're working on, and I have worked for several years on the bridge at Old Reliance Road in Bryan, which is important for all those students coming out of the new Rudder High School. It's only a two-lane bridge, very dangerous, and it's been a high priority for Bryan city officials. And so we're going to do the groundbreaking on that, and I've got a lot of other things we're doing in the district. So I'm a lot more interested in getting back home than going to a two-day party caucus retreat.
Is that a missable meeting? I mean, obviously you think that it is. Are they not going to do anything there that's that you need to be a part of?
They will be talking about party issues, and I'm a lot more interested in issues important in our district than party issues.
Got it. Chet Edwards, a congressman, he joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Chet.
Scott, thanks.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.